Thank you for being in our place of worship today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And our prayer is that you are blessed and encouraged today. Forgive my voice. It's still a little struggling, having a little struggle today, but it'll be all right. I really hope today that someone is encouraged by the word of the Lord. We are living in a day and age that is unlike any other. Amen. We want to talk today from the topic of the pathway to patience. The pathway to patience. This message was really born in my heart this week when we underwent some changes at work, which wasn't anything unusual for the business that I'm in. Yeah, we're in the automotive business, and it has its ebbs and flows, and it is typically customary, and I'm not sure about your business. I know there's been job cuts I've seen, you know, in different industries, so it's nothing, I don't think, that's unique to the automotive industry, but I think we are very sensitive to that reducing workforce. And that happened this past week at work, and it was a trying time. Because, you know, you work with someone most of your life, and you, if you weren't already married, you watch each other get married and watch each other have children and watch each other have grandchildren, and, you know, you're going to the Christmas party annually with each other's children, and then grandchildren come along and you're pulling out your phone and you're sharing stories, and one day they're gone. You know, I don't know about where you work, but that's like family to us. And so anyway, it was a very trying time. And after it was all said and done, I went into work Friday. Oh, incidentally, in case anyone asks or wants to know, I don't work from home anymore, which in a way it's not a bad thing. I knew one day it would come to an end because, you know, everything does. Everything has a beginning. Everything has an end. And I look at it this way. I was blessed for 2 years to get to be able to do it. And because of the reduction in the workforce, they asked me to come back into the office full time, and I thought that was a whole lot better than them handing me a blue folder and saying, "It's been nice having you here, Darren. Good luck on your next job." So I don't have to go to work in the office now. I get to go to work in the office. So, but at the same time, I went into work Friday, and this lady that sits across from me, her name is Lisa, and bless her heart, she's a Christian lady, and I'm not sure what faith. Haven't been able to talk to her about that specifically yet, but we have talked to prayer and things like that at different times. And I could just sense I needed to go say something to her. And I'm the only one in my row now. Everybody else is gone, either quit or moved somewhere else. And then she is not the only one in her row, but she's one of two. And her row was full, not like tens of people, but probably four or five. And the lady that sat on the one side and on the other side of her, they both were let go. And I know what it's like to come back to work and say, "Oh, where's so-and-so?" Well, they let him go. Oh, you know. Or so-and-so? Well, they let him go. You know, and I went through that probably 15 years ago. And I guess it's kind of like with when people pass on from this life, you know, and people are left, they call it survivor's guilt. You know, I've experienced that at work, you know, been there 25 years now, but be there for 15 years, and someone's been there for 35 years that you think has pretty much earned the position to be there, they're gone. You know, it's like, oh my word. But, you know, you have to move on. Well, it just wouldn't leave me. And I walked around and I said, "Lisa," I said, "I just want you to know," I said, "you're on my mind today and I'm praying for you." And she looked up from her cube. You know, it's not, I'm not talking about this. I'm not weeping over the situation. I'm weeping over the fact that, you know, God can use us anywhere, anytime, in any way, if we're just sensitive to him, you know. And I said, "I just want you to know I'm praying for you." And I said, "I know, you know, you all have become pretty good friends." And I said, that's been taken away. And I said, I get how that feels, you know. And you know, she made a few comments and told me how she felt on a few things, but really thanked me for taking the time to come by and pray. And I got to thinking as I sat down at my desk, you know, how peculiar the joy of the Lord is. You know, the Bible talks about a peace that passes understanding. It talks about a peace that is beyond our comprehension. And I had it that day. And, you know, I don't know if they're still done reducing workforce. Nobody does. I mean, really. And so it could have been that day, but it wasn't. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm pretty relaxed today. I feel pretty good. And as I'm working, I'm like, I've got a lot of joy today, you know. And why is this? And I begin to think as I'm working, you know, there's something about experience. And the scripture talks about this, and we're going to get into this in the word of the Lord. And I'm leading up to the pathway to patience. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, how did I get to the point that I don't like what's happened? I hurt for the people who lost their job. One lady that she wasn't a near and dear friend to me, but she was a good friend, you know, always spoke as she went by and had that mutual respect. And she had been over one of our departments for many, many years before she came into where she was working, before she got let go. But I watched her husband go through one of the downsizings I was referring to, and he had been there for 30 or 35 years, and now she was in the same fate. But what I didn't know is her husband right now has cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy, and her insurance was cut off the midnight before she was let go. So, you know, it wasn't without pain for these people. But yet the peace of God was in my heart and the joy of the Lord was in my heart. I'm thinking, this is odd. You know, I don't know about you, but even though I know it and I've experienced it, and I guess it's scriptural because the Bible says it's the peace of God that passes understanding. So it does seem odd to me to have that. And I'm like, how am I able to feel and think this way today? And I got to thinking to myself, it really boils down to experience. It boils down to having been through and successfully navigated experiences in life that teach me, that mold my thinking into scriptural thinking. Again, it didn't take away the pain. It didn't take away the hurt. It didn't take away the fact that what happened happened. And that's huge. I think sometimes we struggle with moving on beyond situations like that a lot of times is because we have a hard time facing that what we saw, heard, and experienced really did happen. Well, yeah, it did. Well, we got to move on. So, but once we get to the point with our experiences in life, and more particularly with God, because these experiences come our way in life to mold and shape our faith in Him. But if we're not looking in the right direction, what they can do is they can do more harm than they do the intended good that God had intended them to do. So I'm looking there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there is a pathway to patience. And I think it was Ethan that picked out the graphic today, and I'm glad he did. I told him specifically what I wanted. I said, I want a path. And if you can get it showing at least somewhat from the valley, the bottom of the mountain to the top, I would like that. Because in our faith, we're on a pathway. The Bible says we're on a pathway. We're on the highway of holiness. We're on the narrow way. We didn't enter in at the broad gate. We're not doing everything that pleases our flesh. We're crucifying our flesh. We're saying no to ourselves. Why? So that Jesus Christ's life might be reflected and lived in us, and we might be conformed to His image, and then He might be formed in us. That's the whole purpose of this. But there is a pathway to patience. There's a pathway to getting ourselves to in the place to where God is supreme, and His word and His authority reigns supreme in our life. So we're going to look at patience today, and we're going to talk about the pathway to patience. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Excuse me. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Excuse me. I know the Bible talks about patience. I know, and if sister, if you'd keep that up as you are, that would be great. I know the Bible talks about patience, but I was really surprised, shocked, if you will, to restudy this topic in the Bible. And if I would encourage you after this message to go home and however you study the Bible, whether it's an old-fashioned concordance, or which I love those. I don't use them anymore, but because my phone's just so much quicker. But I love a concordance. Or you use the Blue Letter Bible app, however you study. Study patient and patience in the New Testament. As I began to study this, I saw once again just how serious a topic patience is. And in our culture and in this light speed world that we live in today, it's difficult to be patient. Don't believe me? Sit at the red light just 2 seconds after it turns green and come and tell me if someone didn't honk at you to get up the road. Why? Because we have to get where we're going. We have an agenda. And I think what the Lord does with these things, I think where he wants us in our life is he wants us to lay down our agenda and pick up his agenda. Well, Brother Pritt, I've been serving God for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, we need to what? Deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. Why? Because my agenda will creep back into the way of my relationship with him. And we're talking about patience. We're talking about the pathway to patience. So patience, biblically defined in the original language, means to be of, in these scriptures, means to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. Okay? Not to lose heart. That's very important. The Bible talks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. So important we do that. So important we just don't get caught in the events and the current of life and just be, you know, and think we're okay. I'll come to church, you know, I even pray, I even read my Bible, but I do all the things that I need to do. But somehow or another, it's just not connecting, and I'm growing weary and I'm growing faint. Okay? To persevere patiently and bravely, enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in hearing or bearing, excuse me, the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. So these are the definitions of that word that was used for patient in these scriptures. The Bible says to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. Life can wear on us, can it? To the point where we are tempted or we begin to lose heart. We don't want to. We want to stand strong. We want to do the right thing. But life is life. And that's why James encouraged us. We need to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Can anybody name some scriptural examples of folks in Scripture whose impatience cost them? Whose impatience cost them something? I got a couple I can think of, but yes, Sister Terry. Saul, how did his patience cost him? And what are you thinking of in particular? Yeah. I'm thinking of, I don't know if you're thinking of this, but I'm thinking of the time the prophet said, you wait here until I come back. It was like 7 days or something like that, and he was going to come back, and that's when he forced himself to offer the sacrifice. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yep, I'm glad you thought of that, sister. Yeah, and he was up there, what, talking to God about the people of God. Boy, that's a lesson in itself, isn't it? Sister. Wow. I never thought of that one. That's a great example. I'm thinking of Sarah, and Abraham. Abraham, this hadn't happened yet, even though God said it was going to. Oh, boy. How many... You know, you don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want. How many are there? How many has God said, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm there, okay? God's made me some promises. God promised me some things when Brother Hurt was here. I didn't ask for that. Y'all can probably remember what someone was. I didn't come to God and say, God, would you give me a word? He just did it because he's got a plan and purpose in my life. And I sure could use some of those to come to pass, like right yesterday. You know? But they haven't. But what am I going to do in the interim? You know, I've got to be patient. I've got to put myself in a position where God can bless me. So these are great examples. The importance of patience. Folks, our souls depend upon patience. Your soul, my soul, literally depends upon my patience. And I'm not talking about just, okay, I don't want to honk at the guy I like to make a joke. You know, when people are, they're not going. Now, I'm not talking about 2 seconds after the light turns, but I'm talking about like 5, 6, 7, and we're all sitting in line thinking, okay, would you just reply to the text already? Okay, because that's what they're doing. You know, that's what they're doing. They're just doing their text thing. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. I'm talking about patience and trials and tribulations and concerning our walk with God, okay? Someone having to answer their text before they go in front of me in the light is not a trial. It's not a test. It's just an aggravation of life, and that's our culture, okay? I'm talking about when you have a promise for God, I have a promise from God, whether it's a word from God, like Brother Hurt gave, or whether it's something that we go to the word of the Lord and says, Lord, your word says thus and so. And it's long in happening. We're believing, we're trusting, we've got faith, and it's not happening. Those times and things, those times and those things we need patience in. But our soul depends on it. Luke 21, verse 19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess your souls. And I think it's interesting to note that in Luke 21:19, where Luke 21:19, in context, Jesus is talking about the end of time, what's going to be happening in the last days. And Jesus saying, look, in to us in the last days, I believe it was applicable from the time he spoke it, but to us in particular, in the last days, in our patience, we possess our souls, because our patience in the Spirit, our patience in the things of God, we're going to find out affects quite a few things in our lives. And again, this particular word that Jesus used for patience means steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Okay? It's a characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose. Is my purpose in Christ deliberate? Am I determined to do this no matter what? Is this the course I have set and nothing is going to deter me? These are good questions. Very good questions we need to ask ourselves. Because, you know, or am I just doing this because grandma did it? Am I doing this because great grandma? Am I doing this because mom and dad did it? Am I doing this because I know that I know that I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? So he's not swerved from his deliberate purpose, and not just purpose, but his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. So Paul said, none of these things move me. The things that came to his life, they don't move me. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 says, for we have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. This goes back to Abraham and Sarah. They did the will of God, didn't they? Abram, Sarai, I want you to leave your land, leave your kindred, leave your family, Abram, and I'm to go to a land that I will show you. He didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. He said, you go there and I'm going to make of you a great nation. That's all he told him. He obeyed. He went. Time went on. The promise, what didn't happen yet? It wasn't fulfilled yet. He had done the will of God. But what happened? His patience began to wane, didn't it? That's where some of us are right now. We've done the will of God, but it hasn't happened yet. I really sense that this morning. Some of us are struggling because we've done the will of God. We've done everything that God has told us to do. And what God has said hasn't happened yet. And I say the Lord says we need to exercise patience. That's frustrating, and it's difficult, is it not? Because we know we heard from God. I want to tell you something, church. Those are the times where Satan can come in and say, if God really loved you, he wouldn't be letting you suffer like that. If God really heard your prayer, this wouldn't have happened. If God really cared about you, I mean, after all, look, God knows what's going on in your life and you're still hurting. We need patience. We need patience. We need trust. We need faith, because God will restore. God will come through on his word in his time, just like he did with Job. Job lost a lot, but he had twice as much in the end as he did in the beginning. And we read of the patience of Job in Scripture. So we need patience, because yes, we're going to do the will of God. But sometimes just because we've done the will of God doesn't mean that's the time when the promise is going to be fulfilled, right? We see it in Scripture. We see it in Scripture. So we need patience. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, I'm sorry. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need patience to run this race effectively. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance, and I don't think those two words are there by accident, patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance, not just continuing in the faith and doing the will of God, but patiently doing it, because it's very frustrating to do the right thing continuously without patience. What do you mean? I mean, I can do the right thing and not be patient. And I'm setting myself up for trouble, because I'm setting myself up again for a situation to where I question and blame God. Scriptural example. Job's going along. Yes, the Bible talks about the patience of Job. It talks about how he was blessed. But there was a time, if you read the book of Job, that Job said, I just wish I knew where God was that I could talk to him. I've got some things I'd like to talk to God about. And God shows up and he said, here I am. But where were you when I hung the earth on nothing? Can you make the eagle fly, Job? Where were you when I did this, that, and the other? On and on and on. Answer me those questions, Job. Where were you? God was not being an egomaniac with Job. Okay? God doesn't need to flex his biceps at me and say, Darren, I was here long before you, pal. He wasn't doing that to Job. He was trying to reorient Job's thinking into proper perspective, because Job, he didn't charge God foolishly. See, someone said, it's okay to ask God questions, but it's not okay to question God. There is a difference. Okay? David asked God questions. Psalm 13. How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long must I wrestle every day with sorrow in my heart? How long? Have you clean forgotten to be merciful to Israel? God, he asked God questions all the time, which I love the Psalms, because whenever I get in those particular predicaments that I act like that, I go to the Psalms and I'm thinking, I'm in real good company. I mean, God would rather know how you feel than, right, you walk around me walk around faking it. He wants us to be transparent with him. However, David did not charge God foolishly. He did not charge God as in, God, you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that, blah, blah, blah. He didn't charge him foolishly. So there is a difference. But we're in that place. We can get to that place where we do charge God foolishly, and we need to be careful. We need to be careful. So, and I think that's what the Lord is trying to help us with, because his wisdom goes far beyond our wisdom. I mean, we serve a God, to us, death is a horrible thing. And it is. It is. I mean, when my dad was dying, I remember sitting down at my desk at work and just like, God, I just, my mind can't comprehend this, God. I just can't deal with this. It's like the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, you weren't meant to comprehend this. We were meant to live forever, paradise with God. That's what he intended. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, we deal with this. So God was saying, son, I get it. You weren't meant to deal with this, but I can help you. So we need that. We need to understand his wisdom. That God, you know, to us is a mournful thing. It's a sorrowful thing. But the Bible says that in the Lord's sight, the death of his saints is precious. Well, how is that? Because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We will never catch up to the knowledge of God. Never. So that's where our trust has to come into play. And that's where, and I do believe our level of patience is closely tied to our level of trust. I believe our level of patience is closely tied to our level of trust. Our trust. I'm not talking about, hey, God gave me a word. Wahoo! Sunday afternoon, we're believing it and we're praying about it. And okay, well, what about 15 years from then? And it hasn't happened. And it just seems like everything that can go against what God has said is going against what God has said. Do I trust him? I think there's a level of faith there, and I think we've talked about this before. You know, just like the New River Gorge. You know where that's at near West Virginia? In West Virginia, New River Gorge, got the big bridge going across it. I believe that bridge will hold me if I walk across it. Okay? I believe it will. But do you think I got the nerve to walk across it? I ain't walking across that bridge. I might drive across it if someone is driving me, and I could look straight ahead and not realize that they parachute off this bridge. It's so high. So, you see, I believe it will, but do I trust it will? Well, if I really trusted it, I'd walk across it. I'd conquer my fear, wouldn't I? Intuitively, I know it's not going to collapse. But there is a difference between belief and trust. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. There's a lot of believers out there. But have they put their trust in him? Have they put their faith in him? So, okay, Romans chapter 2. I need to move on. Oh, no, I just read that, didn't I? Patient continues in doing well. Patience is essential to our faith. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It's essential to our faith. Patience is essential to our faith, and I think this is what we have been saying it before we actually said this. We hope, we pray, we trust. But folks, our hope and our prayer and our trust too often, if not completely aborted, it is hindered severely by our lack of patience. Again, I'm telling you folks, I tell my kids all the time, what I'm telling you is not what I've done right. A lot of what I'm getting, the advice I'm giving you is from things I've done wrong and learned from. And what I'm telling you today, I'm not standing up here saying I've got patience conquered, that I'm the most patient person in the world. No, I've been a rather impatient person a lot of my life. But I think I'm finally getting to the point, Brother Mark, I'm getting this. Okay? I'm getting it. And I'm trying to help us because being impatient is a miserable place to be. God answers prayer. Sometimes God's answered desires of my heart that I hadn't even prayed yet. Very elementary example of it one time. Back when we were young, much younger, we were walking through Walmart. I was thinking to myself, you know, I'd really like to have a Weber cooker. You know what a Weber grill is? Cooker? More money than I found one for $47 at the surplus store a couple years ago, and I was really tickled because they're like $125, you know, at Walmart or whatever. But nonetheless, back then, they weren't that much, and still, yeah, I couldn't afford it back then. But nonetheless, I'm walking through Walmart, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, man, I'd really like to have a Weber cooker. And didn't pray about it, didn't ask the Lord for it. But it wasn't too long after that, brother came to me and said, brother, he said, I'm getting rid of my Weber cooker. Would you like to have it? Yeah, I'll take it. And it was like really good shape. You know, sometimes the Lord sees the desires of our hearts and he'll give us things before we even pray. Sometimes the journey goes long and we need to pray. We need to believe. And those are the times that we need most especially to have patience because we're hoping for it. We're praying for it. We're believing for it. God's even spoken it. And if God's spoken it, we know that we know it's going to happen, right? But when's the last time our timing and God's timing has matched up? It doesn't happen real often with me.
Most of the time, what I want from God, I want yesterday.
Right? I've been praying for a particular amount of financial increase for 6-7 years. Have I got it yet? No. Do I still pray for it? Yeah. Jesus said, if you have not, because you ask not. Right? So, but we need patience. The pathway to patience. So how do we get? How do we get to a place, not where we're perfect, but where we're not staying up at night worrying about things, where we're not fretting and having cares of this life way down? How do we get to that place? We get there. James 1 tells us in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. It works patience. So, brothers and sisters, my young adult brothers and sisters, okay? You're on a pathway to patience. Patience is essential for your salvation. It's essential for your soul. You've got to have it. But guess what? It's not going to happen overnight. Man, everybody say, man. Don't you just wish it was one of those things that God came down and said, poof, you're patient. Anybody knows most things grow through struggle and pain in this life? Can all you mothers say amen? I mean, you birthed your children in struggle and pain. And as we watch our children grow, I remember when Ryan started walking. Actually, I remember the first time we ever crawled, too. The first time he ever crawled up the steps. But anyway, he was like 9 months old. Where's Ryan? Oh, no. We tried to keep pretty good tabs on our kids, you know. And turned around, there he was. Big old honking diaper staring down at us from the top of the steps. And he turns around and looks and just looking at us. I told Shannon, I said, well, we just may as well teach him how to crawl back down safely. I said, because we're not going to stop that kid. We're not. It's not like he ran all over the place. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, so, and when he first started walking around the table, and then he fell and busted his nose or his lip or whatever it was. You know, those are the things that help them learn how to walk on their own. Unfortunately, it's part of learning and walking. And it's those experiences that you know, one day they're out running, right? And they're not falling. It's the same way in the spirit. Well, I've had the Holy Ghost for 30 years. Well, yeah, I've had it for 36. And we're still learning patience. Really? Is there anybody we know that knows everything there is to know about being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Some of the greatest men of God I know that could read your mail inside and out. They can read your text messages while they're floating in the air. They're so gifted in the spirit. But they'll stand and tell you stories about how God came to them through another man of God and just saved their spiritual life. Because why? Because we're growing, we're maturing in the Lord. So tribulation works patience. Okay? The next verse is very important. But, everybody say but. But let patience have her perfect work. We can go through the tests and the trials that God puts us through or allows us to go through to develop our patience, and we can not develop as we should. We have to let or allow patience to have her perfect work. Why? That made me be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I'm not real good at this. When bad things happen in life, and you know, they do. They happen to all of us, right? You go out and start the car, and the car don't start. You have a flat tire. I don't know. People getting laid off at work. Things happen, right? I'm not real good about saying, thank you, Jesus. Bible tells us, he didn't say give thanks necessarily for all things, but said in everything give thanks, right? I'm not happy because people got laid off at work last week. Stinks. It's no fun. I already told you all the emotions that were associated with that. But the Bible says that we are to glory in tribulations. Knowing why? Boy, oh boy, I'm telling you what. I think I'm learning something right now. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, that's the point I'm trying to make. However, my level of patience is also tied into how much I do or do not glory in tribulation. If I want to fuss and complain and gripe and cry and moan my way through the tribulations, how much patience do you think I'm going to have at the end? Not much. Is it hard? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it fun? No. Is it profitable and beneficial to our welfare as children of God? Absolutely. Is God going to do it any other way? No. Most flowers grow up through dirt. They start as a little seed in the ground. It's dead. It dies alone, but there's life in it. And given the right environment, it germinates and it grows into a beautiful flower. We planted a climbing clematis last year, and hopefully it comes back this year and just as in all its glory and, you know, vines up the thing that we made for it. Why? Because it's beautiful. But that clematis started as a dead seed. And given the right environment, it grew. Well, folks, our patience has to have the right environment to grow. And our patience doesn't grow when everything's going good and everything's fine. Next verse, please. It says, and patience experience and experience hope. The reason why sometimes we don't have the hope that we have is because we don't have the we don't have the patience that's been developed by the experience, because we don't glory properly in those times. We wonder why our lives sometimes are filled with so much doubt and fear and anxiety, and the list can go on. It's because we don't have the hope that we should, because we didn't respond properly in the times of tribulation. And it couldn't grow the patience in us that God wanted us to grow. And then experience comes from that. And then when we're sitting around, and we could be the next one. I could be. I'm 51 years old, been there 25 years. I am a prime candidate. Glad we're not Facebook Live right now. I'm a prime candidate to be let go. Why? Because that is just the range that they hit every time. 45 and up. Years of service and up. Why? We're some of the most costliest to the company because of our benefits packages and things like that. I'm not dumb. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like I'm Mr. Smart, but it's the truth. It's business, you know? So how can I sit there and not be worried myself, but yet go over and encourage this one and say, you know what, I'm praying for you because I know you lost some friends. And I'll be very thankful for that because I've been there before. You know, it's not fun. It's not pleasurable, but somehow or another, I responded to the situation before to where I've had some experience, and now I've got some hope. You know? So there is purpose in our pain. Now, by that, I'm not saying that you are particularly in the situation that you're in because God said, I'm going to do this to you. That's not what I mean. I love a scripture in the Word of God, and Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, one of them, my mind is failing me right now. But it says that time and chance happeneth to all. Okay? What does that mean? That means the disciples get laid off and the sinners get laid off. That means that the disciples get raises and the sinners get raises. That means that the disciples get flat tires and sinners get flat tires. Time and chance happens to all. Life is life. So sometimes it's just life. However, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. If he's not the God of all comfort to us today, let's make him the God of all comfort. Okay? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So we can take the comfort that God gives us into our trouble, in our tribulation, and we can go help someone else. And how many of us in this place today have needed somebody at one time or another? to come along and say, I get it. Not necessarily I understand, because we're all unique and we all react to things differently. But I get it. I've been in this situation myself, and this is what God has done for me. We need those people in our lives. So it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. God can turn your situation around and use you to help somebody else. There is purpose in pain. Jesus watches over our patients. I was really surprised at this, even though I'm sure I've read it from time to time. But Revelation chapter 2, don't turn there, we're fine. Revelation chapter 2 verse 3, Revelation 2:19, 13:10, and 14:12 all mention the Lord taking notice of the patience of his saints. I have seen your patience. 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 Well, if God has seen my patience, it means he's seen my impatience too. And I wonder how many times the answer to my prayer or the delay of my blessing has been a result of my impatience and tribulation. Just a question. Our patience or lack thereof is a concern to our Father. Why? Because patience is so vital to our walks with God. And your patience possesses your souls, the pathway to patience. So staying on the pathway as we wrap up here. Number one, staying on the pathway. You got to stay on the pathway. God doesn't want that which is lame to be turned out of the way. He wants us to lift up hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. So staying on the pathway, don't walk alone. Don't walk alone. Number two, remember God's timing is not our timing. Number three, remember that he acts according to his will. Number four, remember he acts according to his character. And what is God? The Bible says, John said, God is love. God is not out to hurt you. God is not out to harm you. I will say what Jesus said to John the Baptist when John said, look, should we look for another? I'm getting ready to get my head cut off here. For doing the right thing. Jesus, are you really the one? Jesus said, you go tell him the dead are raised, the lame are healed, sick are healed, etc. And also tell him, blessed are they who are not offended in me. Satan wants some of us to become offended in God and lose out. I'm telling you, it's not easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't be called tribulations. But I'm telling you, there's value to staying on this path. Because the end is going to be greater than the beginning. He acts according to his character. God's not out to hurt you. God is going to bless you. Number five, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. Number six, hold to the promises of God. The Bible very often refers to the word of his patience, the word of his patience, the word of his patience. His word will bring us patience. And number seven, do what you know to do. Keep doing what you know to do. Let's stand. It's just about 10 till. We want to refresh.